Welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio, where we are crazy enough to believe that the world can actually change. So we are in the middle of an election, and this is a monumental election. Many people are calling this the last important election of our times, and so we are definitely living through history right now. And let's just break it down. The election has been happening since November 3rd, which was Tuesday. So we are on the third day of this election, and many states are still counting votes. Those states are Nevada, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and North Carolina. The states that are leaning blue right now that have not been declared yet are Nevada, Arizona, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. Georgia and Pennsylvania, switched from red to blue this morning, and prior to this morning they had been leaning towards Donald Trump. And so if Joe Biden wins all of the states he's leading in right now, which are Nevada, Arizona, Pennsylvania, and Georgia, he will easily win the presidency. All Joe Biden needs to win the presidency right now is Nevada and Arizona, and he will be at 270. And I just want to bring up that a lot of pollsters counted Arizona as a blue state way too quickly. And what's interesting about that call is that Fox News said that Arizona was a blue state prior to more liberal channels like MSNBC. And so there's a lot that still needs to be counted. There's a lot before it's all said and done. But with the projections I'm seeing right now, Joe Biden has a clearer path to win the presidency and take control of the White House. And when we talk in terms of Donald Trump's path to the White House and to re-election, he has to flip Pennsylvania, he has to flip Georgia, and he has to flip North Carolina, and he has to win, well, not flip North Carolina, he just has to keep control of North Carolina, which I think he will, but he also has to flip either Arizona or Nevada. And the state that's most likely to flip, it looks like Nevada is going to go to Joe Biden, so the state that's most likely to flip to red is Arizona. But his path to winning is becoming more narrow and more narrow. Even before Pennsylvania and Georgia have flipped to blue, Joe Biden's path to winning was, frankly, easier, because all he needed to do was get Nevada and Arizona to get to 270, because he's at 253 electoral college votes right now, and our president is at 214, and what's interesting is they haven't called Alaska yet, which we know Alaska is going to be a red state, and they haven't called North Carolina yet, but we know North Carolina is also going to be a red state. So let's talk about the states that are leaning right now and haven't been called yet. So Georgia has 99% reporting. Georgia is worth 16 electoral votes. That is a lot of votes. So right now, the president and Joe Biden both have 49.4% of the vote, with the president down by a little less than 2,000 votes, which is a very small margin. That is coming to close to the margin of where Donald Trump, if he wanted, if he lost the state of Georgia, could ask for a recount. And if recounts are within a certain margin, you can ask for them. If they're not, you have to pay for them. And so that's what we saw in 2016 when the third party candidate asked for a recount. It cost her $3.5 million, but she got that recount. And subsequently, Donald Trump won 100,000 votes because of that, approximately 100,000 votes. And so let's talk about Nevada right now. Nevada is also a key state right now, and Nevada is worth 6 electoral votes. And I think it's important to mention that usually presidential races do not come down to Nevada, but this year is so different, and this is an unprecedented race. So in Nevada, 86% of Nevada is reporting right now. And so 49.8% of the votes. So Biden has 49.8% of the votes, and Trump has 48.1% of the votes. And so the president right now is is losing by 21,000 votes right now, which is still a small margin, especially since they are only reporting 86% of the state's votes, and they still have to count a lot of mail-in ballots. I still think that Nevada will go to Vice President Joe Biden. North Carolina, Joe Biden is losing by 2%, but it's important to say that Joe Biden never expected to win the state of North Carolina. North Carolina is a state that is a swing state, and in 2008, the state went to Obama, and so it swung blue in 2008. But in order to get North Carolina, we needed an unprecedented voter turnout in North Carolina, especially from those suburban areas with minority voters. And so that's what we needed in North Carolina. And I just don't think Joe Biden will be able to pull North Carolina this year. Let's talk about Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a key state. If Joe Biden wins Pennsylvania right now, he wins the presidency. So right now, Joe Biden is winning the state by around 9,000 votes. And so that is a small margin, and so that's razor thin, but it does not come close to the margin where a recount is necessary. 9,000 votes does not come within that margin. And so I think, here's my prediction. I think Joe Biden will win the state of Pennsylvania. I think he will win the state of Nevada, and I think it will become, the race will be very, very close in Georgia. And I think Joe Biden will win the state of Arizona. Arizona was called too early, but Joe Biden has been leading in Arizona since Tuesday night. So I think Joe Biden will win all of those states. And just like I mentioned before, Joe Biden only needs Nevada and Arizona right now to get to exactly 270. You need 270 electoral votes to win the presidency. And if Joe Biden wins those two states, he wins the presidency. But even if he has different pathways as well, if he wins just the state of Pennsylvania right now, he will also be over 270. And Georgia will only help us. We don't need Joe Biden does not need the state of Georgia to win, but it will only help secure this presidency if there's conspiracy theories around voter fraud and illegal things happening right now. And so I think right now the path for Joe Biden to win looks a lot more clear than Donald Trump. Donald Trump would need an unprecedented amount of red votes coming in through mail. And if we remember correctly, Donald Trump notably told his voters, vote in person, do not vote by mail. And so because of this, we saw the red mirage where Tuesday night, many, many states like Wisconsin and Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, were looking like red states because the votes that are counted first were the in-person votes. And then that next morning, we saw Wisconsin and Michigan turn blue because of that red mirage, because they then counted the absentee ballots and they counted the mail-in votes, and that pushed Joe Biden over the edge to win states like Wisconsin and Michigan. And so I think the same thing is going to happen in Pennsylvania and Georgia, where they looked red at first because they counted the in-person votes, but then we get this influx of mail-in votes, and Joe Biden will win those states. And so I think it's important to just state that, you know, oftentimes democracy can be messy. Democracy takes time, and democracy is a process I really hold dear to my heart. And it's sad that many officials and even the president is trying to state that our democracy isn't working how it should, when votes being counted is just democracy taking place. That isn't fraud. That isn't fraudulent behavior. And so I hope that every single vote gets counted. And the fact that many officials want to stop votes from getting counted isn't right, and it isn't good for our democracy. And I think that's just a hit on our democracy if that does happen, but I don't see that happening, because in no legal way can Donald Trump stop votes from getting counted. The president has a lot of power, but that is not a power that he obtains. And it's important that every single vote gets counted. And my prediction is that Joe Biden is going to win the presidency. I don't see Donald Trump winning. But either way, I think it's important to remember we are a nation as a whole, and we need to come together no matter who the winner is and reconstruct and rebuild and be the best that we can be as American citizens. Thank you for tuning in to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on Penguin Radio. I will be right back, and I'll see you guys there.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Why do we bow? We bow because it's important to exercise our right to bow. We bow on issues that matter to us, such as healthcare, education, the economy, civil rights, and immigration. With our votes, we have the power to shape our country and our communities. Your vote matters. Yeah! So please, register to vote. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio. And divided government is also important as well. And if there is divided government, especially if there's divided government and Joe Biden gets elected, then he's not going to be able to make those tax raises that he wanted. He's not going to be able to implement a lot of the policies that he wanted to implement. And I know that the Democrats were almost expecting this blue wave where they were going to take control of the Senate. But I don't see that happening right now, as the Republican Party has 48 and the Democratic Party has 46. And I think what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris should have done a better job at doing is really promote voting down the ballot as well, because they did a great job at promoting vote, 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 but they did a great job at promoting vote, 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 vote for president. They did not do a great job at getting voters educated on the Senate race and how important the Senate race really is. And so I feel as though if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris would have committed more time to getting voters educated on the Senate race, and not even the Senate race, on voting down the ballot in general, then they would have seen not even the blue wave they would have wanted, but they would have seen the results they would have wanted in the Senate. And what I want to bring up, though, is even though the Republican Party is in control of the Senate right now, I can't be too hypocritical and I can't complain too much, because we have elected more women senators than ever before, and these women senators happen to be Republican. So I'm not going to be hypocritical and say women in government aren't good, because it's amazing. Representation in all facets of government is amazing, and so I'm glad that these women are able to have their voice and be elected to the Senate, because that's honestly, it's very inspiring to girls all over the nation. And do I wish these women would have been Democrats? Yes, but a win is a win, and women in government is a win. And I want to talk about Colorado, because in Colorado, there was a Republican senator, and that Republican senator was Cory Gardner. And so there was a blue wave in Colorado this year where John Hickenlooper won in mass numbers, with a massive voter turnout as well. There's been massive and unprecedented voter turnout all over the nation that has to be mentioned. And so Cory Gardner just recently got fired at his position in Colorado as their senator, and so John Hickenlooper is taking over. John Hickenlooper has good name recognition, and he ran for president for a short period of time in 2019 and 2020. And so I'm excited to see where Colorado is heading with their new senator. And I think we're seeing this in Colorado and Arizona, where they're having an influx of Californians move to their states. And so this is causing a massive demographic shift, which is pushing Reconstruction. And so Colorado has been moving left since 2008 now. And Arizona, we're seeing Arizona and states like Virginia as well kind of copy Colorado with the demographic shift, which is causing Arizona and Virginia to shift more left as well. And so when states like this undertake a massive party switch, the government on the inside of the states changes as well. Not only do they consider themselves, just like Colorado is a blue state, not only are we a blue state, we also have local governmental officials who are blue as well. So our Secretary of State is a Democrat. Our senator is now a Democrat. And so that is just like Arizona. Arizona just elected a Democrat senator as well. And Virginia not only has been making more public officials Democrats, they have also been implementing laws that reflect democratic ideals as well. And so this is really interesting to see as demographics switch and shift, as Californians are moving more places and other people are moving more places, so do political ideals. And in early 2008, we saw an influx of Californians in Colorado, and now we're seeing Californians move to Arizona because of marijuana laws. And it's crazy that one issue can switch the political ideals of so many states. And Virginia has LGBTQ protection laws they just put in place in 2020. They have stricter gun regulations that they put in place in 2019 and 2020. These regulations are not even seen in many Democratic states. These regulations include having mandatory background checks when purchasing a firearm from a private seller. These regulations include having to report stolen guns in Virginia. And so Virginia, we can see that they're not only do the people that they elect, but the policies that they are putting forward are moving forward, especially within the Democratic Party. So I think we'll be seeing that more within states like Nevada, as Nevada is, except for Utah, is surrounded by Democratic states as well. And it's interesting just to see the political shift and the reconstruction of the entire nation as we undertake this demographic shift. And not only is Virginia undergoing that, Colorado is undergoing that, Arizona is undergoing, all these states are undergoing reconstruction right now. And so I think in the upcoming years, this is really going to affect elections, because before, Virginia was a reliable red state. Before the 2004 election, Virginia was a reliable red state. They had voted, if my statistics are correct, they had voted red 11 out of 12 presidential elections from 1968 to 2004. And so it's interesting that they had been a red state for decades and decades and decades. And since 2008, they helped President Obama get elected, they have identified themselves as a blue state. And they're surrounded by red states as well. And it's interesting to see this switch in American politics that is really going to it's really going to affect future politics. It's really going to affect future elections and what states that matter. Because before, Virginia used to be a really important state for the Republicans. And And I'm curious to see how it's going to look in the future now that Virginia is a blue state. Arizona is shifting to just be a blue state. They've been shifting left for a long time, just like Colorado. Hello, everyone. I want to quickly report on some breaking news that is happening right now within the presidential election. So Georgia has switched from a state that was leaning red to a state that is now leaning blue. People are now calling this the Stacey Abrams effect, as she worked very hard to get especially black and brown Americans to register to vote. So now in Georgia, Joe Biden has about a 2,000 vote lead. This is a razor-thin margin, but it could be enough to get him to win Georgia, which would be a significant win for the Democratic Party and his campaign.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Hey, think twice before you litter. Even a small piece of trash can endanger the beautiful animals in our communities. So don't litter. Take responsibility and help the environment. Help save some animals and keep the world clean. It only takes a few seconds to find a trash can and throw away that candy wrapper. So be a role model and don't litter. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
To vote. And so we're 90% reporting right now, and we voted yes on that instead of no. And so 63% of Coloradans voted yes on Amendment 76, and 37% voted no on Amendment 76, so that will be taking place in Colorado. And then let's talk about Amendment 77, and that's a local gaming limit approval, which I am a big fan of this amendment, and so allows voters in Central, Black Hawk, and Cripple Creek cities to approve a maximum single bet limit of any amount and expand gaming options. And so 60.2% voted yes on this measure, and 39.8% voted no on this measure. And let's talk about Amendment B, Colorado Constitutional Amendment B, to repeal property tax assessed rates. And so this repeals amendment would set residential and non-residential property tax assessment rates in the state constitution. And we're 90% reporting, and this one was a little more divided, and so 57.4 of Coloradans voted yes, and 42.6 of Coloradans voted no. And Amendment C, which was charitable gaming conduct, and this would lower the number of years an organization must have existed before obtaining a charitable gaming license from 5 years to 3 years. I thought this was a good measure within the ballot, and I just want to bring up that I did vote the entire ballot, and I think voting down the ballot is really important as well. But we are 90% reporting on this, just as every single other amendment, and 52.1% of Coloradans voted yes, and 47.9% of Coloradans voted no. And let's move on to Colorado Proposition 113, which is a national popular vote. This is something I'm super passionate about. So this decides on Colorado joining the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, which would give the state's 9 electoral votes to the presidential candidate who wins the national popular vote if states representing at least 270 electoral college votes adopt the compact. And I think this would be an awesome measure. I think the electoral college in itself has been a little outdated for a while, and we need something new. And so 52.1% of Coloradans voted yes on this, and 47.9% of Coloradans voted no. And so let's move on to Colorado Proposition 114 to restore gray wolves. So this requires that the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Commission creates a plan to reintroduce and manage gray wolves on designated lands west of the Continental Divide by the end of 2023. Save the wolves, right? So 50.5% of Coloradans voted yes and 49.5% Coloradans voted no. And I'm actually really surprised that this ballot, this measure wasn't more popular with people voting yes, just because I know Colorado is home to a lot of environmentalists who care about wolves. And so I thought that a lot more people would have voted yes on this, but it still passed. And so Colorado Proposition 115, ban late-term abortions. And so this is a measure that I voted no on just because it was a backdoor to hinder women from getting abortions. And so this would prohibit abortions after a fetus reaches 22 weeks gestational age. And so this would even prohibit abortions that include instances of rape and incest. And so I voted no on this measure, and Coloradans voted 58.8% no and 41.2% yes. And I'm really glad that I think feminists really stuck up for Colorado's abortion laws on Proposition 115, excuse me. And so we were able to not let that measure pass. And I don't think a measure like that will ever pass in Colorado, as we, I think the majority of Coloradans are pro-choice, excuse me. And so Colorado Proposition 116, reduce state income tax. This measure passed, and so it decreases the state income tax rate for individuals, estates, trusts, and foreign and domestic corporations operating in Colorado. And so 57.7% of Coloradans voted yes on this measure, and 42.3% voted no on this measure. And let's move on to Colorado Proposition 117, which is new enterprise requirement. And this measure passed as well. And so it requires statewide voter approval for new state enterprises, projected or actual revenue from fees and surcharges greater than $100 million within its first 5 years. I was very active and vocal that I wanted this proposition to pass, and I'm glad it did. So 52.5% of Coloradans voted yes on this measure, and 47.5% voted no on this measure. And let's move on to Colorado Proposition 118, family and medical leave. This one, again, was similar to Proposition 115, where a lot of people just stuck together and knew what was the right thing to do. And so this proposition did pass. And so it allows for 12 weeks of paid family and medical leave funded through a payroll tax paid by employers and employees in a 50-50 split. An additional 4 weeks of leave would be allowed for pregnancy or childbirth complications. And so I think this makes a lot of things easier for parents. And it also brings more equality as well, between, you know, gender equality. And so I think this measure was very important, and I'm so glad it passed with great numbers. So 57.3% of Coloradans voted yes, and 42.7% voted no. Let's talk about Colorado Proposition EE, tobacco and nicotine tax. So this creates a tax on nicotine products such as e-cigarettes, increasing cigarette and tobacco taxes, and dedicating revenues to various health and education promises. This passed with great numbers. It passed, but I know a lot of friends my age were, and they're smokers as well, they were mad about Proposition EE, but for selfish reasons. But 67.6% of Coloradans voted yes on this. I think it was the right thing to do. While 32.4% of Coloradans voted no. So the ballot measures this year in Colorado were very important, and they were just so important. I think the only one that I was campaigning very hard against was Proposition 115 that was a backdoor ban to many abortions that would save women's lives. And we can go into a discussion about whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, but I'm glad that that proposition did not pass. And, you know, we did very well this year in propositions in Colorado. And I want to talk about Oregon because I know they decriminalized hard drugs. And I don't even know how I feel about that. I don't know how that's going to affect, because they're the first state to do this. And so I'm interested. Hello to all my listeners out there. I just wanted to report on some breaking news that is happening as we speak. Pennsylvania is continuing to become a blue state as the vote count only has been going up for Joe Biden. We know that Tuesday and Wednesday, Pennsylvania was a red state, but as they get an influx of mail-in votes, it is now quickly shifting to a blue state. And so in the state of Pennsylvania, Joe Biden now leads by more than 13,000 votes. This is a razor-thin margin, but would be able to let Joe Biden win.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio. Carbon emissions represent man's greatest controllable contribution to global warming. If you like to breathe crisp, healthful air, think about this. For every mile driven, 1 pound of carbon particulate matter is released into our atmosphere. Before you jump into your car, next time, ask yourself if you can make the trip on your bike instead. And keep it clean.
The candidates at hand, because I know there's a lot circulating right now, a lot of rhetoric that's saying, if you voted for Trump, then I'm not going to be your friend. If you voted for Biden, you know, unfriend me. And I, you know, it's weird because back in the McCain era, things were so different. Republicans and Democrats could get together on the Senate floor and come together to get things done. That's no longer the case. And I think that's partly due to the polarization right now that's happening in the political world. And so I think that's why. And I think it's also because of the president we've had for 3.5 years, he's spewed this language of hatred and bigotry, honestly. And so I think a lot of people don't see him as a regular Republican. I think a lot of see him as a figure of hate. And I was watching TikTok the other day, and one of the TikTokers say, whether you want to believe it or not, you will always have voted as the same person as a member of the KKK voted. And that really just stuck with me because as an Afro-Latina woman, I've made a realization that I can no longer have people in my inner circle that are supposed to be supporting me vote against my rights. And so even though a lot of people are saying this is immature, if you unfriend people because they have different views than you, I think it's totally okay because we are sometimes forgetting we choose who our friends are. And you don't have to explain why you're making your choice for your friends. And this is something that's really forgotten, you know. You can choose your friends for whatever reason. You can choose not to be friends with someone for whatever reason you want, and you don't have to explain that. You don't have to have an explanation for anything. And so I think it's totally justifiable. It's just like if somebody doesn't have as many similar interests as I do, maybe I don't want them as a close friend. And I think we have to remember that maybe it's not the best to have people that voted for Donald Trump, especially for me, I'm a person of color, to have in my inner circle, just because when people are your friend and they're in your inner circle, they're supposed to be supporting you. But I've read every single page of Donald Trump's policy and his party platform, and I can just say that his policies would inhibit the rights of people of color, women, the LGBTQ community, and every single marginalized group. And I feel as though being a part of a marginalized group puts me in a unique position where this is actually affecting me, and I feel as though you're privileged if these laws don't affect you, but at the same time, why wouldn't you side with your so-called friends that, you know, are being oppressed against? And I think if you choose the side of the oppressor, you are just contributing to the oppression that's going on. And I don't condemn all the rhetoric going on, condemn all of the rhetoric going on that says, you know, if you vote for Donald Trump, you're not my friend anymore, because I can tell you the truth. I've had to do my part of unfriending, especially on Facebook, when it comes to a lot of people that I used to really be close to, because it's come to the point to where, do you really respect me if you're voting against me? And I think some people don't grasp this concept, especially because they've never been oppressed against, so they don't understand oppression and how it feels and how serious it is. And I had I said this to somebody, and they said, well, my parents make over $400,000 a year, so our tax, you know, we're going to get a lot of money taken out in taxes. And to my response was, is money truly more important than human rights? And we've come to a point, especially in America, where it's okay to think that the economy is more important than people's lives. And this can be seen in every single facet of American life, just as we open businesses prematurely, even though people were dying at an unprecedented rate in America from coronavirus, as people continue to vote for Donald Trump, even though he's oppressing humans. And it's crazy to me that half of the nation still isn't voting for oppression. They're still voting for unequal rights, and they're voting the same way as the KKK, and I will continue to say that. And I think everyone has their say, and it's just not the same anymore. A Republican is very different from a Republican who supports Donald Trump. And for those Republicans that have not supported Donald Trump, I give my absolute respect to people like Mitt Romney, John McCain's wife and John McCain's daughter, both voted against the president of the United States. And I feel as though Donald Trump has caused major division, not only in America with Democrats and Republicans, he has caused major division within his party itself. The Republican Party is becoming more and more divided between Republicans and Republicans that support Trump, because Trump ideals are not necessarily Republican ideals. Yes, some of their ideals accidentally align, but for the most part, Trump ideals do not match up with Republican ideals. And so I think a lot of Republicans are starting to see that they do not want Trump as the spearhead for the Republican Party, especially if you want to get anything done with Republicans and Democrats and come to compromises. And it's this interesting dichotomy where, you know, many of the Republican leaders are torn between whether to support the president or not. And I think we can see this with Mitch McConnell. I think Trump makes Mitch McConnell's job a lot harder, and he would almost be happier if Joe Biden won the presidency, because Mitch McConnell has said before he loves divided government, and that's what he would be getting with a Joe Biden presidency, as the Senate will ultimately be controlled by the Republicans. So it's very interesting to see. And I am a person that if you support Donald Trump, I don't hate you. I just feel as though you're voting against my rights, so I can't have you in my inner circle, because you're not supporting me. If you don't support me, then I can't have you that close to me. And I've had some people understand this, and I've had some people not understand this, but it's something that I do believe, and I'm interested to see how the Republican Party is going to look after this election. And if they're going to be divided, if they're going to come together. I'm interested to see if America is going to come together after so many people unfriending their Trump supporter families, their Trump supporter friends. So I'm interested to see how this nation is going to patch up the shaky relationship we have with each other. Half of the nation believes one thing and half of the nation believes another thing. And so it's going to be interesting to see how are we going to recover from... I would argue that we've never been this more divided since the Civil War. So I'm going to... It's going to be interesting to see how we are going to recover from this dividedness, because regardless of your... a Democrat or if you're a Republican, we are Americans at the end of the day. And so I really, really, really hope that at the end of the day, if Joe Biden wins, then Republicans can look past, you know, their beliefs and just look at what's good for the nation and root on President Joe Biden, because even when President Donald Trump was elected, he wasn't my favorite guy, but I always said I'm rooting for him, because to root for him is to root for America, and I think I hope that's what Republicans think as well. So thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Welcome to the Resistance. By next week, when I'm coming from you guys, we should know who the president is, so I hope to tell you guys then. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you guys next Friday.